let's talk about Toronto FC. Like I said in my little intro, I don't think Toronto FC needs a statement win necessarily. But, boy, if I'm New York City FC, if I'm Patrick Fear, I'm waking up this morning going, what happened? 4-0 is 4-0.
Yeah, pretty bad. And he said it after. He didn't pull his punches in the press conference after the game, saying, look, this is the team to beat in Major League Soccer. They're that much good. And sort of the gap between us and the rest of MLS, for that matter, and Toronto FC is widening. So, and I thought we saw that last night. I mean, it was, you know, pretty even first half. And then, you know, TFC just kind of blew their doors open, right? So it was really a masterful performance in all sense.
Any surprise that we would see Toronto FC have that type of performance so close to the Gold Cup, so close to, you know, a competition where some of their key players played pretty significant roles? Was that surprising that you would see that there wouldn't be any sort of physical hangover or anything from that?
I don't think so. I mean, when you're talking about the players who were coming back, Michael Bradley, who, you know, he'd have to be dead, I think, to not play. And Josie Altidore and Justin Morrow, aside from being quality players, they sort of share that same warrior trait. So, no, I wasn't the least bit surprised that all three of them, you know, played you know, key roles in the game yesterday.
How do you think this conference is shaping up right now? I mean, we still have the Chicago Fire there and obviously New York City FC. I think there's 6 points separating sixth and second right now. But how do you see this conference shaping up? Is NYCFC still, are they the primary competition, or do you think the Chicago Fire are good enough to hang in there?
I think it's Chicago. I mean, I still think Toronto is the class of the conference, and this is their title race to lose, essentially. So they're leading the way, and it's up to, I would suggest, New York and Chicago and Atlanta as well to sort of push them. That being said, I mean, you know, for as dominant as TFC has been, and I've sort of made out that they've been so dominant, they're not sort of running away with it, right? I mean, New York and Chicago and Atlanta, and again, they're playing them all very close. It's quite competitive, the Eastern Conference. But I still think, you know, Toronto is, as I said, the class of the conference, and, you know, they're leading the way. So I'm barring, you know, major injuries or a loss in form, I just can't see them relinquishing top spot in the East.
Are they better than last year's TFC?
Oh, yeah, I think so, without question. I think last year's team was pretty good, but when you look at, you know, this team, there's far more depth, there's far more balance front to back, and I think the addition of Victor Vasquez was a major, major signing. This is a guy who, you know, was a class player who was really sort of that playmaker who could kind of link, you know, the forwards and the defense that they've always sort of long needed, right? And just such an exquisite touch on the ball and the way he can unlock defenses. I think he's, you know, really, truly one of the unheralded players in the league.
Now, we spent a lot of time sort of navel-gazing, wondering about Sebastian Giovinco and his future with this team. I know you've addressed this and other people have. Michael Bradley's future here, given the fact that there's now a family tie elsewhere in the game. What do you think his future is? Is his future absolutely committed to Toronto FC? Is this where he finishes his career, do you think? Or do you think that there may be another move?
There might be another move. I mean, I could certainly see him closing out his career at Toronto FC. I just think he's so invested emotionally, mentally in the club, and he's played a major part and changing the culture of the team. And I don't think you can sort of overstate how important he has been to that. He has, I think, 2 or 3 more years left on the deal. I don't think he's going to go to LA. I know his dad is coaching there now, so, you know, that'd certainly be a big attraction. But I really can't see him going out unless he wants to win stuff here. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they've won the Canadian Championship, and that's great. But he wants to win MLS Cups. They're going to compete in Champions League, CONCACAF Champions League next season. They want to win that. So I don't see him making the move to LA unless he starts winning, you know, without first winning championships. And, you know, maybe after this deal, like if he's, you know, he's looking to, you know, for one more deal and it's towards the end of his career, sure, I could see that moving to LA if his dad is still there. But right now, with the way this team is playing and how important he is and how much he's invested in the team, I have a hard time imagining he's going to pick up sticks and move to LA.
Jog my memory. How many times has he coached him? Has Bob coached Michael?
I think, well, with the U.S. national
team.
The Metro Stars.
Okay, first came Metro in the league. Stars. Yeah. All right. Okay. I was just looking at his timeline and trying to figure out if he'd ever coached him in club soccer.
Yeah.
At any point.
So it would have been when he first came in the league as a 16-year-old.
Right.
I think they drafted him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we make a big enough deal about Michael Bradley, not just in this city, but in North America in general? I mean, I know he's a big name in soccer in the mm-hmm. United States, but it just seems to me that this guy is such a model professional mm-hmm. athlete on so many levels. And I know, all kidding aside about Toronto FC and their space in the local sporting landscape and all that, and I want to go back to that in a minute, kind of a serious vein, but do we kind of know what we have in Michael Bradley? Because, I mean, even Sebastian Giovinco, people know Sebastian Giovinco. I'm sure people know Michael Bradley, but I don't know if people appreciate him necessarily as much as they should.
I think that's fair. I mean, I think the hardcore fans in Toronto FC, they certainly know. Mm-hmm. But does the wider sort of sporting audience in this city know what we have in Michael Bradley? Probably not. And I'm not sure that, you know, American fans quite know what they have in Michael Bradley too, because there's a raging debate going on about, you know, whether he should be captain of the U.S. national team. And, you know, a lot of people don't sort of appreciate what he brings to the table. I think he's a fantastic athlete. I think he's, you know, and I said it before, he's been the major reason why there's been the culture shift at Toronto FC, just mm-hmm. with the way his sort of intensity and his seriousness and focusness, he's sort of the driving force behind it. And I appreciate that he doesn't play the sexiest position, right? And he's not scoring right. loads of goals and unlocking defenses, but, you know, he's the central figure in that midfield. He's the one who holds it all together. You can't sort of overstate his importance and what he means to that team. They are a far less grittier, physical, imposing team without Michael Bradley in the lineup. And I think he's just vastly important to this team.
All right. I do want to talk about Toronto FC and their position in the city. Pardon me. I mean, all kidding aside.
Oh, boy.
No, all kidding aside. I mean, the Jays are having a down season. They're not going to make the playoffs. You know, they're still going to be probably going to be getting close to 40,000 people a night. We know the TV numbers are pretty robust. But, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Toronto FC has supplanted the Argos in this city as a talking point. And I mean, I would feel that way even if, you know, even if it was a Sportsnet property, I would still feel that way. But do you think there's still room for this franchise to grow here?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, without question. I mean, they're drawing well. They're, as you said, I think they've sort of supplanted the Argos as, what, the fourth most important team in the...
I wouldn't say important. Fourth most...
Recognized?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Whatever terminology we want to use. So, right. You know, and I think it's gotten... They're certainly in a better place where they are now compared to where they were 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a young team still, so I appreciate all of that there's still some sort of room improvement. That being said, I mean, I do think that they don't quite get their due. And again, I hate to bring up the Jays, but when you think about yesterday, I appreciate that it was an amazing comeback, but we're talking about a comeback by a sub-500 team against another sub-500 team. So two teams who, you correct me if I'm wrong, they're essentially both out of the playoff race.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. At the end of the season, that game will be remembered for Steve Pearce hitting the grand slam,
right.
not for any
right.
dramatic impact on the
So
stadium.
It has no sort of dramatic consequence whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And so compare that versus what happened at BMO Field yesterday, where you had the best team in Major League Soccer beat, I think, the third or fourth best team in Major League Soccer, a game featuring Sebastian Giovinco, who scored two goals, including his 50th for the club. Just a masterful performance. What was sort of the lead item on the highlight shows last night? What's going to dominate talk, irrespective of our discussion now? What's going to dominate talk on the radio for most of the day?
Does that ever change? Do you think that'll ever change? Is that a product of sports media culture?
Yes.
In this city,
or is it
a product of just the sports marketplace? And by that, I mean TV ratings and things like that.
Maybe a little bit of both, but I think it's more a product of just the sports media culture in this city. I really do. And it's, you know, people might not want to hear that, but I think that's what it is. That's entirely what's driving it. I mean, for so long I heard when this was a losing franchise. Well, wait till they win, mm-hmm. and then we'll sort of give them their proper due. You know, they're the best team in Major League Soccer right now, and they still have to struggle to get recognition in, you know, the sporting media in this city. So, and there's often times, Jeff, when, you know, I'm not saying this to put myself over, but I'm the only guy at practice, right. the only sort of media member at practice. That's shameful. It really is. And I think the sports media in this city really has to step up its game and cover this team in a more in-depth fashion.
Do we understand in this city how many strides MLS has made? You know, and I'm thinking as a league, like right. you know, you watch their TV, the TV presentation in the States is top notch. I mean, they've got great broadcasters doing a lot of the games in the States. I mean, I think their commissioner gets it on a lot of different levels. It just seems to me that it's a league that does have a lot of room for growth in North America.
Sure, that's fair.
You know, like I think a lot of leagues have tapped out, you know, have kind of reached the point that they're going to reach, but I don't think soccer has. I don't think Major League Soccer has.
I think there's great, you know, it's shown great growth, and I think there's even more sort of growth potential. And, you know, we're talking about players the caliber of Michael Bradley and Sebastian Giovinco, guys who aren't sort of, you know, the wrong end of 30 and playing out the string. They came here in the prime of their careers and are playing, you know, meaningful soccer while they still have plenty of gas left in the tank. That wasn't necessarily the case 10 years ago when you had sort of, when the trend was getting aging veterans coming over here. So I think that's massive. And interest in the game is, you know, continually growing over there. And the league has been growing over the years. So I think hopefully that will continue to grow.
So as we look ahead to the rest of Toronto FC season, is there a part of the schedule that has you particularly concerned, or is there maybe an opponent that you should keep an eye on as the schedule plays out?
Not really. I mean, that sounds boring, but
yeah.
I think they're just in a really good position right now where they control their fate. They're the best team, not just in the Eastern Conference, but in Major League Soccer. So,
and they want to get back to the final, don't they?
They want to get back. They might tell you that, you know, that sort of loss in BMO Field, they've forgotten about it, but it still lingers, and they're bitter about it, and they know they should have won that game. So they want to get back to that.